Network.
Destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright. Alright.
Hey, a little John Lennon for you there in the Beatles. Does feel like we're in a revolution, does it not? I think so. These are strange times. These are the times that try men's souls. Have you ever heard that one? These are the times that try men's souls. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, January the 11th. And our country is in turmoil. We'll be talking in a few minutes with John Murawski. He's an investigative reporter for Real Clear Politics. And we're going to talk about banning hate speech at the workplace. Now, we had scheduled this interview before what's being done to Parler and to conservative speech occurred. So we're going to add some thoughts with him about internet censorship of some of the conservatives, including Donald Trump. So stay tuned for that. And Nancy Pelosi says keeping Donald Trump from ever being president again is one of the reasons that they're going to impeach him. We're going to get some thoughts on this and some other events that are going on in and around it. I can imagine how stoked up Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, will be about all of this when we talk with him. But stay tuned for that interview a little bit later in the show. And with our Congress and our White House now in Democratic hands, we're going to visit our two-minute warning file, and we're going to discuss our country's blind rush to socialism later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, especially towards the end of the year, how you like to donate a little money to charities. Frankly, you like the charities, but also you get a tax break, right? We're going to give you the top 10 metro areas, not the top 10 metro areas. I'm reading the old one here. The top 10 worst charities to donate to. Worst charities to donate to. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. I mean, it's the new year, guys. You want to feel comfortable out there. The best haircut in Tampa Bay, for my money, is the people that work at Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are trained by Andrew himself. I've been going there for years. I can tell you, there's no other place I would go. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call for your appointment. 727-733-3773. Okay. Boy, I don't know where to begin. But Nancy Pelosi, apparently they couldn't wait to get Nancy Pelosi on 60 Minutes. And you know the difference between interviewing Donald Trump? He was interviewed on 60 Minutes, what, several weeks ago? Do you remember how contentious that was? Now, Ed, you watched part of the interview, although you said it was like watching a fire. You didn't want to watch it, but it was there. Was it half as contentious in terms of the relationship between the correspondent and Nancy as it was with Trump and the correspondent?
Oh, no. You could tell when she was asked questions that she approved of, like, you know, anything against Donald Trump, she answered and had no problem. But a couple of questions. One was the fact that AOC was said that Nancy should start bringing in some younger talent, basically.
Oh, she did.
Into the group.
And that's a direct insult to Nancy.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And Nancy said, we are. We already are. And then she said, well, why did she say that then? Well, you have to ask her.
Well, the correspondence.
So, so you could tell Nancy was getting frustrated. She didn't like that. And then the other part was, why, she asked, why, I can't remember who was doing the interview, not because I really don't care. But the other part was she was asked what about the stimulus pact that they voted against. No, we didn't.
Yeah, it's very.
We didn't block. No, we didn't block it. And she was and then you could tell she was getting irate. And then the sure telltale is when the teeth
fall out of her mouth. Yes.
When they start going back and forth sideways. Yeah, when she's got you know when you get that pit in your tooth and you can't get it out.
My teeth are real.
You know when you get a seed in there, you're constantly.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah. She's kind of smacking her lips a little
bit. That's when she's upset.
All right. You know, when I talk to that, I always get a perspective that I don't expect, which I appreciate. Anyway, Pelosi said last night, that one of the motivating things for some in her effort to impeach Trump was to make sure he never runs for the presidency again. We know that, right? Apparently, two strikes and you're out. If you get impeached twice, you're out. Now, I don't know why that would be, because if you're not convicted, impeached is just charged, right?
Mm.
If you're not convicted, I don't know why they can't. They can impeach you 400 times, but if you're never convicted, I don't see how that would affect you being able to run again. But apparently they seem to think two strikes is enough.
I wonder, what's the cost on running an impeachment these days?
Millions.
Yeah.
They can't blow their noses in Washington without spending $1 million.
I say this one comes out of Nancy's pocket. Let's see how fast she wants to impeach
him. Well, she's got so much money to begin with because, you know, she married into a lot of money anyway. It's not like Joe Biden, who earned his money the honest way. He was sucking money out of countries.
Mm.
Nancy already had her millions before she even got into the business of politics because of her, because of her husband and her family and everything else. So she doesn't care. Money is no object to her. That's why maybe they are willing to spend like they spend, you know? Anyway, we all know what's happening. We all know that there is a move afoot to silence, in my humble opinion. The concept of conservative speech, to scare and intimidate people that believe in the things that our country was founded on, which was, by the way, individual effort, personal responsibility, local rather than federal, local and state rather than all size fits one federal regulation. That was the intent of they wanted to get out from under a monarch. England was run by King George. They knew how people were treated when a monarch tyrannically oversaw you. They wanted no part of centralized power. They wanted the individual states to have more power than the federal government. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but now we'll take our break. And when we come back, John Murawski will join us. We're going to talk about hate speech.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. 3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and the turmoil has beset us all over the place in Washington, D.C., seeping out into the countryside. We're delighted to have John Murawski. He is a Real Clear Politics investigative reporter, and he has penned a piece, a big move to ban realtor hate speech at work. John, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you very much. Glad to be on.
You know, we are going to talk a little bit about the National Association of Realtors, who have apparently revised their ethics code to ban hate speech and harassing speech by its members. But in light of what has been going on with the banning of Parler, I say the banning, let's just say pulling the rug out from under Parler, which has been a voice for a lot of conservatives, I'm hoping that you'll allow me to talk with you a little bit about banning conservative and banning hate speech and banning speech that people feel is offensive, if we can talk about that in general with you.
Yeah.
Good. Let's start out with the general situation right now with Parler and taking Donald Trump's Twitter account away from him. I believe Facebook has followed suit. And others have followed suit with pulling a lot of conservative speech off the. To me, it's kind of scary. I want to get your thought on that.
These are private organizations, so they're capable of doing that. But because they're so influential and powerful, and they the decisions tend to affect one side of the political spectrum and not the other. If they had a policy where they were also banning left-wing organizations, I think it would look different. But it seems to be affecting only conservatives. So that's the concern, that it's just one-sided. And it looks like a political power move. And I assume that's why you're bringing it up, because that's what it looks like to some people.
Well, it's speech. It's our freedom of speech, the First Amendment of our Constitution. And our founding fathers were so determined to make sure that people's voices would be allowed to be heard. One person's freedom statement is another one's persecution statement. But you should be allowed to say what you feel. And of course, we've been starting to ban certain words, have we not? It's always slowly beginning. It's like a snowball, right? When it first starts rolling, the snowball's still pretty little for a few rolls. But all of a sudden, it starts, to get bigger, quicker. I think it's getting bigger, quicker in terms of
people
censorship.
People are definitely, you're definitely raising the issue of microaggressions, and the threshold for what's offensive, it seems to be getting lower and lower and lower. So, what used to be offensive used to be extremely egregious and pretty obvious, and now you could simply have a disagreement. So we've had basically what we've had this summer is cancel culture, right? People getting fired for posting "All Lives Matter" or "Blue Lives Matter" or things like that, which is then interpreted to mean "I hate all black people" or something like that.
There you go.
What you're saying, "All Lives Matter," but the person hearing it says, "You have just made an expression of hate towards all people of color, and therefore you must be banned because that's what it really means." And so there's some interpretation going on, because those kinds of statements that tend to get banned on their face are no longer actually, if you weren't living today, in other words, if you were teleported from just a year ago and somebody said to you, all lives matter, you wouldn't know that anybody would be offended by that, because you wouldn't know it has a certain specific interpretation or connotation. So there's also there has to be this active interpretation where a statement that appears kind of neutral or sort of generic actually means something really terrible to some people. So this element of interpretation is what I think is what is new. It's that the statements themselves aren't self-evidently offensive. It's that somebody has to tell you that what they really mean. And before, when we were thinking of hate speech, the hate speech was more self-evident. It would use things like the N-word, or would actually say, I hate people of this sort, or people like that should burn in hell. So there was, you know, there was an element of hate in the statement. But when you're saying things like all lives matter, you're not really condemning anyone. It's actually a positive affirmation. So on its face, so it has to be then, somebody has to tell you, here's what it really means. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah. The
boundaries are broadening.
Exactly. We're talking with John Murawski. Real Clear Investigations and Real Clear Politics. He's an investigative reporter. We're talking, and initially I brought John on to talk about this realtor hate speech. Let's get over there for just a moment, John. The National Association of Realtors, which may be the largest trade organization, they got about, what, a million and a half members?
Yeah, 1.4. They are the largest trade group. Yeah,
they are, okay.
1 million members. Giant group.
My goodness. So they've revised their ethics code, and under the new code, agents who insult, threaten, or harass people based on race, sex, or other legally protected characteristics, there's the fine one, legally protected characteristic, can be investigated, fined, or expelled. That sounds a little bit to me like Nazi Germany. You go ahead. Give me your thought on this.
Yeah, so National Association of Realtors, or NAR, they have a code of ethics, and they in November they expanded the code of ethics to include hate speech. So they're banning hate speech. But what's interesting here is their code of ethics generally applies to anything you do in the course of a real estate transaction. But their hate speech actually applies to your whole life, 24/7. So it's not just limited to a real estate transaction. So it typically would apply to what you do on social media, like your own personal social media account, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And so the concern here is that they haven't defined what hate speech is. They have some general words like harassing speech, slurs, epithets, threats, insults. But it's really, you know, if you were to ask them, the most common question they're getting is, can I disagree with gay marriage from the pulpit? Meaning there are people who are Christian ministers who are also real estate brokers or agents or brokers. They're members of NAR. And they said, if I, on Sunday, when I'm not selling real estate and I'm giving a sermon or I'm teaching Sunday school, can I say that our belief in our church or my understanding of my religion is that homosexuality is somehow not accepted? It's undesirable in some way. And can we say that? And I don't think this just applies to Christians. I mean, I think conservative Jews, conservative Muslims would also be in the same position. So, and really they cannot give you a very definitive answer, but what they do say is this is not meant to ban expressions of religious faith or political positions. It's meant to ban weaponized speech. But if you say, well, is this okay, or is this okay, they can't give you a specific answer.
Of course
it's all
not.
Going to be based on context or this fact, very fact-specific. So there's just uncertainty, and it creates anxiety because you don't know what you can and can't say.
I could just see our founding fathers talking kind of like this when they were trying to figure out what you can and cannot do and say. And they decided, that all free speech is better than trying to limit some free speech, because you couldn't get a parenthesis, you couldn't get brackets around exactly what it was you couldn't say. So it's all free speech is better than trying to bracket some free speech, because you can't find the brackets.
The brackets are very hard to establish. It would be easier if the National Association of Realtors actually gave you a list. Here's what you can say. Here's what you can't say. But, of course, they can't do that, because if they were to say, hey, it's all right to say all lives matter, if you were to say that, it would cause a riot. I mean, it would be very controversial. Now, remember, the founding fathers, the way they conceptualized free speech is the ban, and National Association of Realtors repeats this to all its members. The free speech applies to government entities. So Congress shall make no law abridging free speech. And that generally means also state legislatures or state governments. So private organizations and private businesses aren't bound by the First Amendment. However, the First Amendment has become part of our culture. So it's not just a legal concept. It's also a cultural concept. So people don't like to have their speech restricted because, you know, we tend to believe we live in a society that values free speech. So there's this legal element, but there's also this important cultural element. And, you know, the members of National Association of Realtors understand that NAR has the legal right to do this, but they feel that an organization of that size, and this brings you back to what you were saying about power, about Facebook, and about Twitter. These are very powerful, large businesses. I mean, remember that in the 1770s, during the time of the American Revolution, we didn't have businesses that had 1.4 million members. We didn't have organizations like Facebook has, you know, I don't know how many billions of members. Those are larger than any country that ever existed at that time. So it wasn't really what the founding fathers had in mind is governments having power of people, right, over people, kings, but not private entities. Private entities were quite small. It was a world of small businesses. There were no corporations. Everything was a small business. So,
yes.
And so we have a new kind of, we have a new reality with very large private organizations that essentially are like pseudo governments, are very powerful. And it's a new reality for us. And so it raises these kinds of questions that you and I are discussing.
Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, about the only thing you could say other than obscenities, you couldn't say that on television, radio, or...
You can now, actually. You can say the obscenities.
Yes, you can. But when I was a kid growing up, which was, the invention of the cow, if you said, you know, there's a fire in a theater, that would be about the only time your free speech would be limited.
Yeah, you can't cry fire.
Right? You could never cry fire in a theater because you would immediately instigate a stampede and people could be killed.
Right.
Okay. So that was, now, I also...
That's the same argument made by Parler, right? Against Parler.
Well, what I'm trying to say is the evolution of what you can and cannot say. So that was not allowed. You couldn't say, I want to kill this or that politician. I guess you could, actually. You could probably say that without being hauled in. Now, of course, you couldn't do that. But so we started to advance, and now there were certain words, right? Like, let's be honest, the N-word was allowed, even in the movies. If you go back to the 40s and 50s, the 40s and 50s, the N-word was allowed in the movies. There was one movie that was made, like in 1950, the N-word was used, I would say, about 11 or 12 times in the movie.
Yeah, and also To Kill a Mockingbird, I mean, in the novel, the N-word is used.
Yeah, so what we're saying...
Huckleberry Finn.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So now we're saying...
It was a realistic...
I know the intent... What they're saying is, I know the intent of these people, and they're using this... Their intent is to belittle a group of people. No, they don't. They don't know that intent. This is what's so crazy about it. Intent.
Well, the other thing is that the N-word is used in popular culture today, much more so than it ever was before.
Yeah, it's by African Americans.
Yeah, so it's throughout. It's very much part of a...
It depends on the intent. And nobody knows the intent. When Donald Trump was up in front of all of that crowd at the Capitol, can they look into his soul and tell us that his intent was to start a mob riot to break into the... Of course they can't. But they're still going to impeach him, are they not? For intent? Isn't it for intent?
I haven't seen the articles of impeachment, but I assume they would impeach him for inciting
insurrection.
Riot, or they would call it an insurrection.
Sure. I'm just making a point, of course, that we can't look into the souls of other people. and know exactly what it is that they're, and even if we could, are they not allowed to have that feeling, you know? So it's going back to what we're doing here with the realtors and hate speech. We are going down, do you not think, a slippery slope? And I mean, not only a slippery slope, we're going down to the very edge of the cliff, are we not?
Well, I don't know how close we are to the cliff, but with regard to the slippery slope, we don't really know how the National Association of Realtors policy will play out. I think there's going to be some unintended consequences. But the thing is that these, and I'll tell you what I think they're going to be, but this policy, it's not like a court system where they have transcripts and filings and records and documents. These are all going to be private hearings, and there will be no reporting of it to anyone. So we won't really know what's happening. However, I think there are going to be certain things that are going to happen. There are going to be certain numbers of people who are in real estate who probably feel a lot more like you do than like the leadership of NAR. And they're going to be sitting on these grievance committees, and they're going to throw these complaints out. They're going to say, this just doesn't rise to the level of hate speech. And if we start doing that, then, you know, we'll have thousands of cases, and we don't want to get into that. And some of them are going to dismiss them, and that might be, you know, in many parts of the country. In some of the larger cities, urban areas, you might have the opposite effect, where they're going to be very hypersensitive, and they're going to accept everything. And you're going to have, very unequal outcomes. The other thing is, I think white people and Christians and straight people might start filing hate speech complaints when their broker organizes a diversity training session, and then they are told that white straight people are toxic or need to come to terms with their underprivileged, and they're going to feel like this is very hostile because it's they're going to think this is kind of a hostile language towards me, and they're going to file complaints.
Yeah.
And so it'll have, I think, unintended consequences. And then you'll have the cliff that you're talking about will be on both sides, right?
Yes.
It'll be conservatives and liberals controlling other people's speech.
Here we go. What a tangled web it turns into, right? I mean, after you
start going down the road. Yeah, tangled web, perfect expression. Yeah,
exactly right. John, a real pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, great talking to you.
Oh, it's great. I want to have you on again. I think we could... I mean, there are so many topics, and boy, are we going to have ammunition. So I look forward to the next time you and I are together. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it'll be an interesting 4 years.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Thank you so much, John.
Okay.
All right, John Murawski, Real Clear Politics, investigative reporter. Very interesting. All right, we're going to take our break. Hey, we're not stopping talking about all of this. When we get Andrew the Master Barber, and we're also going to get his brother, Angelo, our eye in the sky up in northern New York. We'll talk a little bit about what is going on trying to get Donald Trump out of office.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. It's kind of cold in Tampa Bay. We're going to have a week of cooler weather here. All right, two distinguished and well-known law professors are coming up and discussing whether or not what Donald Trump has done is an impeachable offense. Jonathan Turley and Alan Dershowitz. Here's Turley. He's a George Washington University law professor. He says he does not believe Trump committed an impeachable offense. He says that the president's call to protest does not constitute insurrection, and that Congress must deliberate carefully on the charge to carry out the process constitutionally. He says the speech itself does not give a clear basis for the charges of insurrection or incitement. He says the president talks about his followers marching on Congress peacefully. He does not call for riots. He does not call for violence. And then Alan Dershowitz, who, by the way, both of these law professors claim to be Democrats. Dershowitz said that while he does not believe it would result in a Senate trial, impeaching Trump over what he said in an address at the Capitol building would provide, quote, a loaded weapon, unquote, to both parties to use at their will in the future. In other words, it's going to, what's the word, tear the fabric out of the impeachment process. He says that even if Trump is impeached for a second time, the Senate will not be able to hear the trial. Trump will be out of office by then. He says the Constitution specifically says the president shall be removed upon impeachment, says the president shall be removed from the office upon impeachment. He said that because it does not say the former president, the Senate's jurisdiction is limited to a sitting president. Well, and by the way, impeachment is not conviction. Impeachment is charge. So you can be impeached 400 times. Trump could be impeached 400 times. And if he's not convicted, he has every right, no matter what Nancy Pelosi says, to run again.
I just wanted to give you some breaking news before you bring
Brothers
on.
Go for it.
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser just came out and said, you know, we're supposed to be reuniting the country.
Yes.
John, her view on what happened January 6th, she says Trumpism won't die. She was talking about the inauguration coming up. She says Trumpism won't die on January 20th. But we'll move on no matter what. Because of what happened at the Capitol, the domestic terror attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, and with COVID, she's asking D.C. residents or any citizens not to show up for the inauguration.
Oh.
So basically it's closed.
It's going to be a closed inauguration,
which
huh?
It's fine because
they're going to have it outside there, right?
Right.
In front of the Capitol.
Right.
Okay.
Well, his eight supporters would have showed up. That would have been it.
Okay, anyway. I see what you're saying. Right. We're delighted to have the Ceresi brothers. Both of them are here. Andrew the Master Barber and Angelo Ceresi, our guy in North New York. Welcome to Freedom Works, guys. I don't know where to begin here. We could talk about the impeachment of Trump. We could talk about the suppression of conservative speech. Andrew, what's on your mind about all of this?
Well, Paul, first of all, you started the show off with the right song this morning, Revolution, because I believe it's around the corner. These moron Democrats are starting to censor the world. I get on Facebook this morning, all I see is advertisements for bicycles and cars.
Really?
They completely got rid of the conservatives. What are you? Paul, it's a revolution coming. This whole impeachment thing, it's a bunch of baloney. they're so afraid of Trump, their heads are spinning right now because they're wondering what he's going to do to them in the next 9 days. That's why they want him gone, Paul.
Yeah.
And they think they're going to stop him from 2024. Let me tell you something, Paul. I am on a movement right now to defund the Republican Party. I am urging every Republican that I know to not donate to the RNC whatsoever. Put them out of business.
Okay. So you're blaming the Republicans for what's happening to Trump here.
But, Paul, let me tell you something. I saw something that an Indian said the other day. And it said, what if I told you that the left wing and the right wing were attached to the same bird?
Right.
It makes sense, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what we're seeing right now is the globalists, the Republicans, and the Democrats, everybody that was against Trump. Look at all the Republicans trying to come out and go against Trump. These people are nothing but politicians. They need to be gone. They're destroying our country. The Democrats right now are in a definite move to destroy this country. All they're worried about is impeach. Hey, morons, I got news for you. This country's falling apart. You aren't uniting nothing. What you're doing is bringing upon the biggest revolution this country is ever going to see.
All right. Angelo?
Yes, sir. What? How are you? Good morning.
We're good. We're good. This is a strange and crazy and somewhat scary scenario. We got with the COVID going on in the background and with the attempt to impeach Trump, and he's only got 10 days left. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi is abusing her office. I think she is trying to get... It's a political move to try to embarrass Trump even more. The thing is that he never incited a riot. I heard what he was saying when he was talking to the protesters there. And the media is blowing it out of proportion. You know, domestic terrorism and this and that. Well, what about all the Black Lives Matter and Antifa during the whole 6 months? Not one of the Democrats stood up and says, hey, stop that. You're destroying our cities. Not one. And sure, they breached the Capitol building, right? But I understand now, I was reading this morning, that the police chief was told by the Senate, his supervisors, the Senate, and the congressional people there, not to bring in the National Guard or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then you could see in some of the videos that the police were letting the people in, you know?
I didn't see that. You're saying that the police were welcoming or opening the door?
Well, they're opening the doors. They weren't. They weren't.
Where?
You know, pushing them back once they were inside the building.
What video shows the police opening
the
door?
There was a video that shows that, you know, the people coming in. It's been on the internet.
The people
all
coming
over
in
the
is one thing. Do you have a video of them opening the door, physically opening the door for them?
Oh, yeah, they showed the door. They just let them in.
Well, they pushed the door open, is what you mean.
Or probably pushed the door open.
They pushed the door open, yeah. Well, they were breaking through, though. They were still breaking through.
They didn't confront them or nothing.
Yeah. Look, the argument, and I asked you this to Andrew also, the argument that the people that came in were not Trump people is not true. They were fringe people. There may have been a couple that were not Trump people, but most all of them were Trump supporters on the edge.
Right. For the last 4 years, 5 years, you know, you got people out there that are really emotional and really taking this to heart. And when you go after their person, they feel that they're coming after them. And they push to these people, Nancy Pelosi, Charlie Schumer, the media. The media is a big blame for it. And they pushed these people over the edge. They didn't listen. You had 74 million people voting for this guy, and not one court, nobody wanted to listen to what was going on. At least hear the people out, whether there was cheating or there wasn't cheating, whether there was proof or not. You still got to listen to people, and they didn't. They've been trying to quell this whole thing. I mean, and for 2016 election, all they kept saying that he was an illegitimate president, blah, 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 this and that. Even President Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, I saw a video last night that he was on a talk show and he says President Trump is an illegitimate president.
Yeah.
And well, now they want you to accept this guy as a legitimate president. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So well, no matter what you say, he's an illegitimate president, this and that, they're quelling the speech. They're quelling the free speech to say that he's illegitimate, he's this and he's that. exactly what they were doing from 2016 till now.
Okay. We're talking with the Cerasi brothers, Angelo and Andrew. And they both have their dander up on this. Andrew, Joe Biden says he refuses to take a position on impeachment of Trump as the Democrats push the effort forward. So he's sort of standing there. Don't you think he should come out and say, look, I'm going to be inaugurated in 10 days. Let's just leave everything alone. Let's get through this period, this changeover. I do not want us to try to impeach Donald Trump. What do you think?
Well, of course, Paul, that's what he should do, but he's too stupid and ignorant to realize what's going on in the country. Okay, he's still in his basement. Very simple.
Okay.
He's still in his basement. He's not going to say it. He's being controlled by what's going on. You know, you sit there, you got Mr. Cuomo saying, you got to keep protesting. You got Kamala Harris saying, keep destroying things. You got to protest. Trump gives a speech. He said, protest in peace, and that's the one thing wrong. I mean, it's total hypocrisy what's going on, Paul. Again, every move they're making is bringing this country closer and closer to a revolution.
Now we've got Parler being suspended as, you know, the different apps are not going to allow. Apple is not going to allow it.
Facebook,
Google.
They're censoring
Google.
Everything, Paul. They're
That's
censoring everything.
You can't
find
really,
any conservative saying anything on the computer right now.
Go ahead.
You can't really say they're censored. They may, in a sense, censor, but they are private companies, right?
Right.
Well, wait a second.
So you can't really tell a private company what they can and what they can't do, correct?
Well, how come you could tell them to close down?
Oh, the government.
How come you could tell a private company to close down because of COVID, but they can do whatever they want? It's a bunch of bull crap. If they're going by it, it's a private company. Every freaking little business should open up in this country today.
I understand, but what they're doing is they're alienating more people than ever before. And when Biden gave his speech about the protest at the Capitol, he mentioned that if this was Black Lives Matter, it would have been a different story.
Nothing would have happened.
Privilege. Am I right or wrong?
He did bring it
exactly
up. Yes,
right.
He brought it up, and I think he was stupid to bring it up because I don't think it would have made any difference. In fact, the Capitol Police might have been more reluctant to accost black people coming through because of the way we seem to allow the violence. If black people are on the violent end of things, they seem to be like the media, first of all, just dismisses the incident. It dismisses it. So I think that they would be treated even more gently, although I just don't think that's an issue that...
But he never, if he wants to unite this country, he never, never should have come out with that.
Right.
And they talk about presidential material the way that Trump used to talk. Well, this joker doesn't talk any more different.
Oh, no, he's a politician, 100%. You know
they're
that. He blows in the
country,
wind.
They're dividing this country more and more and more.
Nobody blows in the wind easier than Joe Biden. He's been blowing in the wind for almost 50 years. It's not what he... You don't know what he really believes. He's never going to tell you. He's going to play act.
Well, they're going
to know what he believes.
I think what they're going to do now. Nancy Pelosi says nothing is off the table now. They want to make two more states. They want to pack the court. I'm sure they're going to do that. They want to have a mandatory buyback of firearms, whichever ones they want to go after. I remember Biden says, yes, we are going to come after your AKs and your ARs and all this other stuff.
Well, I don't think he said that directly. That guy from Texas did.
Beto O'Rourke. But he did say, I think, I could be wrong, but I know he said he's going to do something with the firearms. And that's what they're going to do is going to divide this country more and more. These next 4 years remain to be seen, see what's going to happen. I mean, I've never seen this country more divided than ever before.
You're right.
In my lifetime, I never have.
Yeah, exactly. Gentlemen, I wish we had more time. I've got to run, but I want to thank you in particular, Angelo, coming on this morning to talk with us. I know we look forward to you being with us every Monday. And Andrew, the same. And we'll be talking again tomorrow, my friend. There's going to be so much to talk about. Thank you both.
Have a good day, Paul.
Okay,
have a good
guys.
Day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
There they go, the Ceresi brothers. All right, we're going to take a short break. And I underline that word to come back. We got some things to talk about. Freedom Works.
Got a backbeat, you can't lose it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment, and thank you so much for being with us. We're here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, Freedom Works. All right, as promised, we're going to do a two-minute warning this morning, and our topic is the socialism rush, the rush to socialism. Last Wednesday's breach of the Capitol building has left our country in a state of panic that virtually none of us have ever experienced before with our federal government. The actions of about, 60, 70 people breaking through the Capitol windows and pouring through the doors has led to calls for the immediate removal of President Trump and the censorship of conservative political points of view on internet platforms like Twitter and Facebook, even Google. And now Parler, and even the denunciation of the supporters of Donald Trump as racists and ignoramuses. They always say that about Donald Trump's supporters. Well, welcome to the swift movement of socialism. Socialism, an engine that for many years, just idling around the corner, you know, we would hear about it, we could hear it, but we didn't see it. Then it started moving down the street very slowly. You know, little things like, we'll take over some of the health care. We'll start providing welfare benefits to people that need that money and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, now it's swiftly cruising down our major federal highway. It's out in the open. You can see it. The Wednesday breach at the Capitol, not an incident that has sent so-called progressives into shock. No. It's a blessed occurrence to them. It's sending them into bliss. Donald Trump is not the original catalyst for this, despite his four-year populist braggadocio. Remember how the left treated Sarah Palin in the 2008 election as vice president nominee? Or how about Neil Kavanaugh? How was he treated at his Supreme Court nomination a couple years back? Or for those of you old enough to remember, even Ronald Reagan, Palin was dumb and a threat to women's rights. Kavanaugh, sexist, drunken monster. Reagan, old, stupid, mongering zealot. Even Amy Comey Barrett with her large family was called a threat to a woman's right to abortion. So they were all treated as if they were something you shouldn't be touched or be around. Then came Trump, a flawed human being with a temperament not fit to be allowed even near the White House, according to some. His political entrance was a green light for the mainstream media to abandon even the perception of objectivity in its reporting. Now they don't even argue that they're objective anymore. They don't. They'll admit it. Okay, but take heart, those of us that believe in limited federal control, there may be hope, because nothing, not even a car, continues to chug forever. It inevitably runs out of gas, and it stammers, and it comes to a stop. Much like this socialism situation, we hope, of course. The new dawn of states' rights is waiting. Rights envisioned by our founders as the true resting place of self-government. States' rights. So let's hope this dawn can break through our current dark fog and shine anew. All right. There you go. All right. Real quickly, Ed, we want to get to our top 10. We got a good one. But I want to ask you, who are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing in round two of the playoffs?
Sunday night, 6:15, they will head to New Orleans to play Saints.
Oh, boy. That'll be a good game. The two oldest quarterbacks in the NFL, yeah. 43 and 42.
The NFL's loving this game.
Oh, I think so. It's a biggie. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed, and I think we got a really good one, if I can find it. And if I can't, I'll make it up. But it's here somewhere. It's the top 10 worst charities to donate to. Let's see, Ed, if you've ever donated to any of these charities. You ready? Here we go. Number 10. The Association for Firefighters and Paramedics.
Really?
Sounds good. The Association for Firefighters and Paramedics. Deceptive fundraising ploy. If there was a checklist of what makes a charity less than reputable, it would take every box in this one. Number 9. Project Cure. It's here in Florida. Mm. You ever heard of it?
No.
Not doing much beyond making up fictitious stories about raising public awareness about some of the most serious and topical diseases. So that's it. Number 8. National Caregiving Foundation. That sounds good. No real evidence the foundation does anything.
Wow.
Oh, God. Number 7. Oh, boy. Operation Lookout National Center for Missing Youth. Now, that's always going to grab you. Mm. You want to find the youth, right? It takes 82% of its donations into its solicitors' pockets. Number 6. United States Deputy Sheriffs Association. I always get a kick out of these phone calls, and I know you've gotten them too.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriffs and the police and this and that, and they're doing the union. And it's not them, you know. It's a group of telemarketers. Right,
right. Okay. Exactly.
Well, this one's already coughed up $200,000 to Iowa, Florida, and Texas in lawsuits. Number 5, Viet Now National Headquarters. Only 3% of their donations make it into the hands wow. of Vietnam vets. You know how people play on the misery of
yes.
others? This yep. is it. This is it. Number 4, the Police Protection Fund. Oh, that sounds good. We want to protect our police. Mm-hmm. The third in a series of outrageous attempts by their founders to extort money on the pretext of donations to police forces. Guess how much goes to the police? 0.7%. Oh, wow. All right. Number 3. Children's Wish Foundation. Oh, that sounds great, right? Anyone reading the name stands a good chance of confusing it with the far more famous Make-A-Wish, which is legitimate. Make-A-Wish, yes. Children's Wish, no. Number 2. American Breast Cancer Foundation. Now, think of it. American Breast Cancer. Set up in 97 with the intent of funding health education and free breast exams, it gets only 2 of the 4 available stars awarded by Charity Navigator, informing us about the best and worst charities out there. Number 1.
I have no idea, but good.
Cancer Fund of America.
Oh,
one of the many philanthropic centers run by a guy by the name of Jim Reynolds. He takes home an annual $230,000. That probably tells you all you need to know about it. It only gives 2.5% of its donations to support families of cancer. So there you go. All right, my friends. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.